You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with your hosts Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's episode, Best New Anime of 1996.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the Brain.
Thanks for listening. On today's show, we run down our favourite anime that started in 1996, and we are joined by our chartologist, Greg Driver.
Woo!
Chartologist.
What a chart we've got. So, well, I created a top 10. Anthony created a top 7. Greg created a top 10, but I cut 5 of them out because they were from 1995.
That was a good reason. You didn't cut them because they weren't good enough.
No.
That would be harsh.
So I shall start with my number 10, which is Anthony's number 4. So we'll get to that when he gets his number 4. Yeah. My number 9 is Slayer's Return, as promised on the previous episode. This is the first of two Slayer's things in my top 10 anime of 1996. And in this, Lina and Naga get involved with a golem in a Slayer's movie outing. I originally mistook this for the next Slayer's movie, which also involved golems. So I moved it further down my top 10 than I originally had it. This one involves them finding like a super-powered mega golem and deal with that at the end. Whereas the next one involves golems being made in the form of Lina and Naga, which is much funnier. My number 8 was Gundam, the 8th MS Team. This was a OAV series set in the Universal Century that focuses on typical grunts in the conflict, rather than focusing on the most important characters in the galaxy.
Are these characters in this good, though?
Yeah. I think it's the same character designer as Cowboy Bebop. If I remember correctly.
This is one of those things that I probably should have watched, or probably should watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's low down my list because I don't think I ever finished watching it, but I remember liking what I saw. I think it had the problem that the director died part of the way through the series, so I don't know whether the rest of it holds up to the early episodes, but the early episodes were top-notch stuff.
The characters look really nice.
It does look pretty swish. When you look at like screenshots of it and grabs and things like that, so
and
it is Gundam though.
Well, I say it's focus. It's sort of like focusing on like a tiny portion of the bigger story. So,
is this available on DVD?
It used to be available on VHS. I know that for sure. I don't know anything beyond that though.
It's probably one of the things you've got to do like a full on expedition for now.
Yeah, it was Bandai put it out.
I can say it was banned.
I think it was banned.
Yeah, good.
Okay, my number 7 is Slayer's Special, which was a series of 3 OVA stories with Lina and Naga, which involved clones, a pushy mother, and then more clones. It was a bit weird that there's 2 different stories both involving clones within the series. Different types of clones as well. But I remember watching this at a UK anime convention and finding it hilarious. Whether I would find it hilarious in 2016 if I went back to watch them again, I don't know. But based on memory, they're my number 7. And Anthony, what's your number 7?
My number 7, I've just minimised the wrong thing. My number 7 was Shadow Skill. And it's a number 7 because I forgot I watched it. I watched part of it, so that means it can't be as good as the ones I remembered, obviously, for obvious reasons. But this is sat around, as I said earlier, on a little CDR somewhere, fan-subbed. I don't really know a great deal about it, but it's definitely something I watched.
It's a bunch of people in tight leather and 90s anime
funny
haircuts.
Funny hairs, yeah, and like growly faces.
Yeah.
That's what I call a growly face.
I believe punching each other.
Yeah, what more could I want in 96? Or now! God, now. I love it now.
Okay, my number 6 is Elf Princess Ren, which I think is... It's an early, possibly the earliest Akitaro Daiichi series. It's an OVA series, 2 episodes long, about a treasure hunter, a fairy princess, and a man with a gravity-defying haircut, even for 90s anime standards. And he also talks in absolute gibberish, often saying the phrase, Gachabagoose. It was very silly, and it's one of these shows where, annoyingly, doesn't have a third episode to finish the story off. As a preview for the third episode, but no actual third episode. And Anthony's number six is Greg's number two, so we should get to that then.
Yeah.
My number five is the motion picture Lupin the Third, Dead or Alive, which was directed by Monkey Punch himself, though he would claim that he didn't do much directing. He just sort of sat in the director's seat while other people apparently saved this movie and got it out on time.
What's the story in this
one? I believe it's an island with some treasure and artificial intelligence, all sorts of death traps going on. Lots of good action. And it was one of these things where I think I liked it more mulling it over in my head after I watched it than I immediately thought I liked it at the time.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it's Lupin the Third. My standards, very low for Lupin the Third. And in terms of finding it enjoyable. Anthony, what's your number five?
It was. Takes me way back to Iacon 2005, when they were allowed to show fan subs.
Well, I don't think this would have been a fan sub, though. This would probably be maybe a US release. Yeah, or maybe even had a UK release by that point. Yeah, because I've written descriptions for this title. So.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's Those Who Hunt Elves. And it was just... I remember sitting in a room of people and they were laughing their heads off. And I was like, I don't know whether I get this. I don't know whether I get this. But by the end of the first episode, it was all right. It's action. It's about this like this big butch guy and his squad of men that hunt elves.
It's mainly... Is it men or it's mainly ladies here? They're trying to fight... Some humans get trapped in this fantasy world along with a tank which has got the brain of a dog, I think, if I remember correctly.
I don't think I got that.
And they, in order to get their way back home, they've got to find these parts of a spell which are tattooed on elves. So they have to hunt down elves and strip them to see if they've got the spell on them.
I just remember the main guy with like huge arms.
Yes, he's like this big macho lunatic.
Yeah. I remember being quite a pervy show as well.
Oh yes, well as I said, they have to strip these elves.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, anime in 1996.
I think the tank's got the brain of a dog. I can't remember why that would be the case.
Just because it just sounds hilarious.
I hope if it doesn't, it has something else.
And this kind of has the notable place in history of being like the first of the never-ending run of late-night anime. There have been late-night anime before this, but this is sort of where the big run starts that still goes on today.
Oh, that's interesting to know, actually. And yes, it is a dog.
Okay, there you go. My memory. I think I've seen two episodes of it.
The spirit that possesses it is also, it also possesses a toy dog at one point.
Okay.
It's actually the spirit of a cat.
Okay, right.
But it possesses a dog, a giant teddy bear, a tank.
I was nearly right, but I was wrong. And Greg, what was your number five?
My number five. I'm swapping the order from the way that I'd written it down because I'd just written them any old how. So my number five is Versus Night, Lamines and Fire.
It
is absolute nuts. That's what it is. Basically, there's this kid and, there's this alternate dimension called Doki Doki Space. And, there's like a great hero that seals away an evil demon king. Is the easiest way to explain it. And this kid appears to be direct descendant of this great hero and gets called upon to be the next hero by two shrine maidens from Doki Doki Space. If I remember the names, Parfait and, I think the other one's Kakao?
Yes.
Yes.
The blue haired one? Yes, yeah.
Have you seen this, Brian?
I think I've seen the previous series of which this is a sequel to.
This is like, basically, when I was scratching around to try and make it up to 10, this is one of the ones that I've like, I've seen a little bit of that, I'll use that. And it's pretty good. It's absolutely insane, it's fun, it's full of mecha, it's... Basically, he's studying and he's this kid with a short attention span and he decides to sneak out at night, goes to an arcade with his friends. On his way home, he gets stopped in an alley by these two shrine maidens looking pretty shady with like big coats on and stuff. And they're like, do you want to buy some CDR games? And they basically they're selling like video games, and he's like, okay, dodgy bootleg video games. So he buys a game off them for 100 yen, and this game ends up sucking him into Doki Doki space, where he is, you know, being basically groomed to become the next great hero and seal away the Demon King, who's coming back again. Everyone seems to be named after drinks.
Yeah, or musical instruments later on.
Yeah, or just blatant naming based on character design, like Narcissist Dandy and Pheromone Lip. But yeah, it's pretty madcap, and it's like fun, crazy, fantasy stuff that appears to be like the super of the month in 1996. So.
Well, the initial idea, when you initially described the plot, it sounds like something you would make up.
You know, if you were going to basically, if someone came up to you and went, right, on the spot, make up a plot for an anime, this is the kind of thing you'd end up with. Yeah.
And this is a sequel where this is basically the plot of the previous thing.
It's established. Yes. It's already established.
It's the son of the character from the previous series.
It appears to have the whole Hero of Time thing going on, like in the Zelda games, where like the first hero got too old to be a hero, so they had to bring in a new hero who's now too old to be a hero and is the father of the hero of the one that I've watched. So he's like the third one in line.
Okie doke. That's throwing me off now because he's shuffled his order. My number four is Vision of Escaflowne. TV series, like, I think like one of the first fan subs I got on VHS. It's got dragons, giant robots that turn into dragons, and it also unfortunately has a rushed ending because they didn't get as many episodes as they originally had planned for. It's got Yoko Kanno music, it's full of sort of cold Gregorian chants, Nobuteru Yuki character designs, and it's got I don't know whether this was due to Gundam Wing or if it was just in the air at the time, but it's got a lot of shoujo elements thrown into it as well.
Escaflowne.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the, because I remember basically, because this is one of the ones that Fox Kids aired at some point, so I remember watching it on Fox Kids and catching parts of it.
Yeah, I believe that has like a terrible, all-time terrible dub.
Yeah, the dub's a bit, yeah.
And more for the adaptation than the performances. Yeah.
Watched a few episodes of the sub, and I will say the dub is very, very lackluster in comparison.
But yeah, this was the first thing I got a art book for, because I really wanted to see the designs of the robots up close.
Big night things. They were pretty cool.
Yeah. Right. Anthony, what about your number four?
My number four takes me so far back. Not to 1996, but at least back for me. And it is X, 1999. Which was, thinking back, I remember going ape for this film before I'd seen it, because I'd seen it in so many AMVs, because the animation was amazing. At least in my head, the action scenes were fantastic. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm...
No, you're not wrong, no.
This looked fantastic. The story itself is about, I think it's like called Dragons of Heaven and the Dragons
like,
of Earth.
Yeah, there's two groups of people with superpowers, and they're going to go to war, and there's going to be an apocalypse, and...
There's lots of...
It's not very coherent in the film.
The series does a better job, because I have seen a few episodes of that as well. But as a film, if you just want to kind of forget the story, shove the story out there and just watch the action, because it is really good.
Yeah, and there's a really great decapitation.
Yeah,
that's the thing which stuck in my mind. I saw this at, I think, Shinenkai 1997.
God. I saw it well. I'd seen it in AMVs well before I'd even picked it up on DVD. And I bought it on DVD to make an AMV with it.
I've always seen it on the shelves and things when I've been out shopping and whatever, looking at DVDs and things like that. But I've never... I don't know. It's just never been one of them things that I've decided to pick up and watch or pick up and purchase. It's just never sort of like...
No, I wouldn't rush to purchase it. There's better things you can spend your money on.
There is, but you could... Actually, is there? Because... Well, there is, but you could probably get it really cheap now. Like, unbelievably cheap.
If I can pick it up for, like, £2...
Yeah, I'm not sure whether, though, the UK release is...
Yeah.
Whether it is... I think got a DVD release when manga were, like, barely operational, when they were putting out those really shoddy-looking
Is that the ones that were black with the red title bit across the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Ray Earth one and everything else. And
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure what the quality of that would be. I mean, I'd be interested in watching it again, but I'm not sure I'd spend money on watching it.
Maybe I'd rather watch the series.
Yeah,
but I think guess it would be long going.
And it probably won't look as good either.
No.
And I don't think they still haven't written an ending for it, so it's on permanent hiatus. Probably longer than Hunter x Hunter. In fact, I'm sure it's longer than Hunter x Hunter it's been on hiatus for.
Gosh. Kawajiri's involved with the series.
Oh, yes, he
so
is.
There we go.
It? Yeah.
There we go. We should maybe check it out.
Yeah, so I don't know what the deal is with Clamp putting on hiatus.
Yeah, I remember some very gay kind of romance between the main villain and the protagonist. Just very, very camp. But it was good. It was good still.
Okay, it's been on hiatus for 13 years, so pick yourself up lucky with Hunter x Hunter.
I don't think that's going anywhere. Anytime soon.
Was it ever that big? I can't remember.
It's glacial, ask you, is what it is at the moment.
God. Maybe for a 20 year anniversary, it'll come back as like...
Hey, anyone remember this?
The answer would be few.
I
don't know. I bet there's Clamp fans who would be...
Oh, diehard Clamp fans, yeah.
Absolutely would be. That would send their world into ecstasy.
Euphoric.
Okay, Greg, what's your number four?
Number four is the Fire Emblem animation, two-part OVA that I think was meant to be a full series but never got past two episodes, so they released it as a two-part OVA in a cheeky way. I think that's what happened anyway. Looking at this Fire Emblem page, that sort of confirms it.
It must have been good.
It was good, yeah. If you follow the games,
yes,
it makes sense. But if you don't, like, if you've never played a Fire Emblem game, it's not something you can dive in and watch because it's very like detached and like it seems to skip about all over the place. So you'll get if you don't know what's happening, it just looks like random scenes basically at some points. But it's like. Parts of it are flashback, and then bits of it are actually happening now. And it follows like the first, and I think it might be. Hold on, where does it say? Is it the third and first games?
I've never played a Fire Emblem game, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's based on Fire Emblem Mystery of the Emblem, which is the third game in Nintendo Fire Emblem series, and it included a remake of the game. Actually, had parts of the first game in it, like or included a remake of the first game. Okay. I've never played this version of it, but I know the character, the main character in the anime, Marth or Mars, as because if you watch it subbed, it's Mars, and even he's actually Marth. When Nintendo finally brought the character to the West and officially translated it, he was Marth, and his first appearance was in a Smash Bros. Game.
I know that character. So, I didn't realise he was a...
Ah. Yeah, the blue-haired dude. And the voice actor in the Smash Bros. Game is the voice actor from the anime.
Huh.
There you go. And it's pretty good. It's decent, solid fantasy and, you know, nice sword fights, magic, people riding flying horses, pirates, that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool. I enjoyed it. But I'm a Fire Emblem fan, so...
Should I pick up Fire Emblem?
Yes, you should. I recommend the games over the anime, but if you play the games, this is a nice accompaniment. It's like a nice thing to watch.
Especially if it's only two episodes, even if it's god-awful.
Yeah.
But it sounds alright.
Yeah. It's not god-awful.
So why didn't it get more episodes?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
The games are really popular at the moment, so it might make a resurgence.
It might make a comeback, yeah. They might decide they're going to do a new Fire Emblem anime. Actually, with the state of the new game, when I've seen bits and pieces from the new game that they're going to release, I don't know when it's coming to the UK, but it's already out in the US. It hit the US in, well, a couple of weeks ago. But when it finally gets to the UK, I can imagine they'll actually make an anime out of the game, because the new game's got very sort of, it would translate very well into manga or anime, I reckon.
Well, you say that though, you'd think there would be more Final Fantasy anime than there has been.
Oh, Unlimited killed it.
But I can see with Fire Emblem, more so than I can see with Final Fantasy, why it would translate well into anime.
Yeah, maybe, but I just wonder whether people who play those long-form role-playing games don't watch anime because they're too busy playing long-form
tactics
role-playing
games. Yeah. I think two go hand in hand, because I know, like, it's kind of like the sort of modus operandi of that kind of person. If you're into that sort of game, that Japanese style tactical RPG, then you usually have, because it uses like manga and anime style artwork within the game a lot.
Yeah.
They use that kind of art style, and it's almost as if they made it so that one day someone could turn it into an anime. It's like Persona, for example.
Sorry.
My number three is the only one still running. And that is Detective Conan. Yes.
Oh, of course.
20 solid years of a child solving murders week in, week out. So, yeah, this is a teenage detective, gets drugged by an evil organisation. They think they've killed him, but all they've actually done is turned him into a child. And so he has to adopt this other persona and lie to his would-be girlfriend, her father. I think eventually his own parents find out, and the mad scientist who lives next door is, like, the first person he finds out. And gradually it builds up this long, overarching story about this organisation while having loads and loads of Murder of the Weeks happening constantly.
I never knew he started as an adult. I know so little about Detective Conan, and I really want to... I love murder mysteries,
you know,
and murders and stuff.
That just flips my whole view of that show on its head.
Yes.
Because the only time I've ever seen it is in Spanish. So I didn't know what was going on. But, like, I've just... Now I'm like... Because I thought he was just some child prodigy that was, like, super hot at solving cases or something like that. But there you go.
I'm going to cosplay him. Yeah. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I've been rewatching the early episodes recently, and they have held up over time. They're probably better than the ones they're currently putting out.
Mm.
Okay, Anthony, what's your number three?
It is Armitage the Third, Polymatrix.
The movie version.
The movie version.
Keith Sutherland and...
Bryan Cranston.
And what's her face from Saved by the Bell?
Elizabeth Banks?
That's it. No,
Elizabeth,
not Banks.
No, Elizabeth Berkeley. Who's Elizabeth Banks?
I'm sure I've seen her.
The Pitch Perfect writer.
Okay.
Didn't she write Pitch Perfect? She may have directed the second one as well. I can't
possibly
remember.
The name's out there somewhere. But no, it's the Saved by the Bell one. And I totally forgot we'd actually done a podcast on this. And I shouldn't have done, because that's why I ended up watching it.
Because I think you liked it more than me.
Oh, but I liked it more than everyone else. Was it me, you and John?
I can't remember who we...
No, Lewis. It was Lewis.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And it's because I fell in love with the main character's romance.
I think
that
I've
romance
seen.
That's... You, yeah. Well, it's a forgettable
the male
watch,
leads
I'm not
another,
gonna lie.
He's a bit of a slab of meat, a bit like the guy from...
Yeah.
Those Who Hunt Elves. Like this guy who's bigger than everybody else.
So the main character's a blonde girl with red leather.
Like a red
jacket.
Leather. Yeah. And she's she's gorgeous and completely non-pervy wear. She is such a good character. Yeah.
I've seen a crossplay of that.
I'm not interested, Greg.
I've seen a crossplay of it.
How's the stitching? If the stitching's good, that's fine.
I
can't remember much of the story aside. This guy, he starts working with, I think it's Naomi Armitage.
That's correct.
And they get involved, and there's, like, illegal androids, and it's just a nice little story, but it's all about the romance. I think I was the only one who really sunk into the whole romance between the main guy. Is it Ross? I've got the name here. Ross Syllabus.
That's it.
That's his name, and Naomi. They have, like, a nice little sweet romance. She nearly dies, and all this stuff. I feel like it's undersold.
And a bunch of Call of Cthulhu and Lovecraft references in there as well. Because of
what more could you want?
Who wrote it? More of which in a moment. And Greg, is your number three still the number three I'm seeing here?
It's still your number one, yes.
Okay,
but not because it's worse than my one and two, but because I have more memories of the other two so I can talk about them.
My number two is Magic Users Club, written by the same person who wrote Armitage the Third. Yes.
That's interesting. And it, you would never guess.
I think in part.
Well, it's judging from images I've seen.
I don't know if every episode was, but at least some episodes were. So this is Magical Girls and Boys versus UFOs. It's a six-episode OVA series. It's just about to get a new release this year in the US.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I shall. Unfortunately, I think you get the TV series, which is rubbish. But
do you get the OVA as well?
You get the OVAs, yes, which is great. It looks great. It's got various sort of some of the spells they cast are stolen from H.P. Lovecraft novels. Because Chiaki J. Kanaka can't stop himself from making Lovecraft references, even in the places where they don't belong.
To be fair, it's a good thing. It's a good bank to reference.
It is, yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I have watched some of it recently, and it does hold up, particularly from the production side of things.
That same guy writes on Mononoke as well.
Yep.
And obviously the Big O.
Yeah. Yep. And Serial Experiments Lane.
My kind of writer.
Righty-ho, you. Anthony's number two is Greg's number one.
How is that below what your number one is, actually? How?
Number one is perfect.
Greg's number two is Anthony's number six. Greg.
Sonic the Hedgehog! the movie, as it was released over here on DVD. But, yeah, I mean... I'm a big Sonic fan. I love Sonic video games. You'll notice a lot of stuff I've put on my list actually ties into video games. But yeah, I like Sonic the Hedgehog video games. And I thought, yeah, well, I'll purchase the anime and try the anime out. And it was actually really good. I got it all cut together as one movie because I know it was released as an OVA as well as two episodes. But basically it starts off and Sonic, you know, icon of the 90s, hedgehog with attitudes, chilling on the beach with his boombox and his mocktail or alcohol-free cocktail or whatever. And Tails is like, oh, let's check out my new boogie board, you know, and Sonic's like, nah, I'm not interested, I'm just going to chill and sunbathe. So Tails is like, you know, playing around in the water. All of a sudden, a crazy old man owl messenger turns up in a battered plane that crashes on Sonic's little island of paradise, bringing news that... the president has requested Sonic's Planet Freedom in this, I think. It's not Mobius, but he's requested Sonic's appearance. You know, he wants to speak to Sonic. So Sonic and Tails get going and they head off and go speak to the president, who has been taken hostage by Dr. Robotnik. And when they get there, it's Robotnik sitting behind the desk with all his Eggman robots everywhere, and he's got the president's daughter hostage, and he basically gets Sonic to run a gauntlet in the in Robotnik land, basically, of traps to get to the center, because he's saying, oh, I've made a new creation and it's gone rogue, you know, and I need you to stop it, Sonic. You're the only person who can stop it. But really, it's his plan to collect data, because he's built Metal Sonic and he needs Sonic's life data to bring Metal Sonic to life. And there's an epic battle between Sonic and Metal Sonic that rages across the world, and world almost gets destroyed, and in the end I can spoil the ending, why not? It's got this great Terminator 2 moment where Sonic goes to save Metal Sonic because Metal Sonic's got Sonic's life data. Metal Sonic does something really good right before he ends up in the lava and saves someone's life, and Sonic goes to save Metal Sonic, and then Metal Sonic knocks his hand away and falls into the lava and dies, and it's really sad. But no, yeah, no. As a huge Sonic fan, I really enjoyed this movie when I first bought it, and I still enjoy it now. It's like a guilty pleasure, really. So
you know what's more sad?
What?
The fact it was my number six, and I've not actually seen it. The series I have seen is from the earlier 90s.
Oh, you're talking about
yes.
That's a US animation.
That's the US
I know.
One. Yeah.
There was one.
The chili dog eating one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only Sonic animation I accept.
And it's really good.
The really madcap, the one that's almost like a Looney Tunes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that one.
This was, so that... Yeah. Oh, God, if I could bring that into the fray, that would be my number one.
My memory of this is that when I was working at Videolog, it had been deleted by ADV, but then the boss of the US ADV had apparently rung the UK side up and says, I want something we can sell at Christmas. And so he told them to put Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie, back into production. So I had to add it back to the database again.
It's actually really nicely animated as well, I have to say.
I see it's all on YouTube, apparently, so...
Yes.
Nice. Maybe we'll just do an episode on it.
I was about to say, yes.
It's worth a go, it is, honestly. Yeah.
What happens when it gets deleted from video log? What happens when you...
Oh, it just means we just send a thing out saying this is no longer available to purchase to...
Oh, to, like, HMV.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me that people's VHSs just disintegrate in front of them and things like that.
That's why my VHSs would break. Brian was deleting them from V-Log.
Okay, my number one is Greg's number three, and that is Martian successor Nadesico.
Get to burning.
Yeah.
Spoil this, because I want to see it one day.
Okay, it's a post-Evangelion, post-modern mecha show. And I would say it might have the greatest mid-season twist I've ever seen in an anime.
I keep hearing about this twist from so many different people. I still don't know where it is.
Get onto it and watch it then.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's a great commentary on mecha shows, on fans of mecha shows, possibly, and of anime in general, really. Of anything in general.
It's the reality of war versus the anime glorification kind of thing.
Yes. And it sort of plays with conventions and sort of puts the main character through the ringer via those conventions. And he's aware of all these conventions because he's a big fan of a mecha show.
Yes. And there's there's the other character, the supporting character, who happens to be my favourite character.
Yes.
Who is a massive mecha fan.
Yeah, which causes great wailings of discomfort when things happen to him. And people, I imagine there's probably people still arguing now about that guy's fate.
Oh, it's, I don't want to, because I'll ruin this for asking.
Is there something we could do an episode on?
It's 26 episodes, so we could, once more, I've got more time on my hands again.
Yeah, I'd do a show on it, definitely.
Oh, Anthony's number one, though. Let's hear about this.
Big hitter. It's a big hitter. I've never been so excited for a TV show in my life as to when this finally came out over in the UK on Cartoon Network, whatever it was, CNX, I forget. I'm going to get so much hate. I imagine everyone's forgot this exists.
No, I'm pretty sure everyone knows it exists.
So it's better than Super.
Oh!
Dragon Ball GT.
Oh!
The elephant is in the room and it's destroying everything.
Elephant in the room. More
it's
like rhinoceros in a china shop.
It's not that bad. I have so many... This was... When I got obsessed with Dragon Ball Z, GT hadn't came out yet. Hell, even the Cell Saga hadn't even aired in the UK. Anything like that.
Oh.
So I used to go on the internet and just look at pictures... So I had unbelievably high hopes for Dragon Ball GT. And there's some good scenes. I remember there's a great fight with Android 17 that, in my head, looks fantastic. And I still think it probably does. It's one of the better animated things in the series. But amongst its hate and, you know, it's not as good as Z, Super has made me appreciate GT. I'm serious. I kind of like the whole going back to Kid Goku in a sense is a genius stroke. Put that on paper.
That's the point of Goten.
My problem with this show.
Yes.
Was that I was excited for it and everything, and I remember I watched Z and then like you, I would look at stuff on the internet, and you had all these like. Weird fan theories like Dragon Ball AF and all that rubbish, you know, Super Saiyan Stage 20 Goku with like grey hair and like four legs, whatever. But like, and then like this comes out it was okay as an anime series, but it just didn't feel like Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball at all.
It doesn't, it's weird ether that's trying to be its own thing. And
it was, I think the thing that it's not hatred for it. It's just the fact that it's just disappointment. Mm. It's like I was so excited to get something that followed on from Dragon Ball Z, and then when I finally watched it, I was just like, oh, this is it. This is it. You know, it's like when you're really excited for, I don't know, a new game release or something. It finally comes out, and it's just. Mm.
The thing is, while I was watching this, I can't remember how old I would have been. It felt great. Watching this as it aired in the UK, it felt fine. But it's when you look at it back and think, yeah, it's not as good as Z. But forget this Dragon Ball, and it's all right.
Yeah.
I love the way Trunks looks in this.
Yeah.
There's like scarf and stuff. I think that's a great design. And it's a shame that it gets a lot of hate. Perhaps it's deserved in some ways because of Super Saiyan 4 and it's...
Mm-hmm. I don't think it deserves all the hate it gets, but it's the weakest of anything on the Dragon Ball timeline. And I don't think...
And you're watching Super.
But I like Super. Super's better.
Super probably is going to redeem
itself. Super has got... The reason Super's better is because it's got that air of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z about it. It actually fits. Whereas I think GT, I don't think it actually fits properly anyway. I don't think it's... No.
Though, you do see Goku kind of disappear at the end, and that is heartbreaking. Because my hero can die. You don't see him die, but he just goes away and fades. And
so has any of this hung over in the video game still, or has this been wiped with the arrival of Battle of Gods?
You still get it in the games. I think in the latest Dragon Ball game, I think you still can have Super Saiyan Stage 4.
Thing is, with those Budokai games and stuff like that, there's so many characters anyway. They might as well put it in.
I'll check it.
So the appeal is the completion, how complete everything is. For Budokai, the appeal is having every character.
Yeah, and when I say it has every character, it's got everybody.
Even got characters that don't appear. It's like what ifs, like fusions that don't happen and things like that. It's like
it's quite crazy when I think about it. I was never too fond of the Budokai games, but I think I missed the slot where it would have. If I was younger, I would have been all over them. But when they came out, I don't know. I was more into Street Fighter, and I'm kind of hard to please with fighting games, I think.
Yeah, I assume they're appealing to the people who are obsessed with Broly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can play as Broly, you can play as Super Saiyan, you can play as characters that never happen, you can play as Super Saiyan Stage 4 Gogeta and things like that.
The people who were hoping that Broly was going to be one of the people that Beerus was going to pick to take part in this competition.
The thing is, he's quite a dull character, Broly.
Yeah, I've never seen him. I'm just always constantly amused that there are people who, like, there's all these Linkin Park videos which are just about Broly.
That's because he's the pinnacle of, like, angst and, the in Dragon Ball Z, him and Trunks are the ones that all these, like, angsty teenagers...
Thing is, those in movie 8, when they're all ganging up and trying to beat Broly, that is one of my favourite scenes.
Yeah.
In Dragon Ball entirely, I think. I love that scene so much.
Oh, the Broly movie's not bad.
Yeah,
he's not
exciting.
He's pretty one dimensional.
He is.
Mad by Goku's screams in the hospital.
Yeah. We have to do a future top ten Dragon Ball characters.
You probably made the top. I don't know, actually.
Anyway, final number one from Greg. He said, trying to finish this podcast.
Which is my number two.
Yes.
Which shouldn't be your number two.
Of course, it should be. My number one should be all your number ones.
It is Rurouni Kenshin, Meiji Swordsman Romantic Story. Woo! No, I this was like one of the first things where I followed the manga and watched the anime. I got the anime off my mate who downloaded it all back in the day. And
now you can just watch it on Netflix.
Yes, now I can watch it on Netflix. But back then it was something different. And I think I first saw it because I had the OVAs.
Yeah.
Three OVAs. Yeah, I watched the, well, four OVAs, wasn't there? Because there was the, like, yeah. I watched the OVAs.
Trail, Reflection, and the movie.
Yeah. I watched all of those, and then I watched the TV series and read the manga to fill it in. And I just really enjoyed the story. This, like, you know, this hardcore assassin that gave up killing, and, you know, he's trying to get away from that life, but it keeps coming up behind him and tapping him on the shoulder every now and again, you know, and he has to confront it. And I think that's a pretty cool story. And I liked the romance between Kenshin and Kaoru. I did.
Yeah.
And some of the characters in it were pretty cool as well. Some of the bad guys, the Oniwabenshu, which was like the band of ninjas, which are like some of the first bad guys he comes up against. And then all the goons that he comes up, they're like proper supervillains almost. They're really like decent characters. They're not just there for him to fight, you know, to get stronger, because he's already the strongest or already, you know, one of the best, but he's just, it's not like the typical Dragon Ball Z thing where he has to get stronger to take someone on. It just, you know, he comes up against these goons that have all got like a gimmick or something, you know, and like even like Shishio, for example, mm-hmm. he can only fight for so long, otherwise his whole body will catch fire and he'll die and stuff like that. And it's just, I just really enjoyed it and I really got into it. And because I was, you know, I sort of enjoyed the historical factor. I know it's not accurate by a long shot, but I enjoyed the sort of little bits of history and the historical setting for it as well. Because it is sort of fed into my, you know, my love of samurais and martial arts and things like that. And
I think you should watch it again. The reason I say that is because we watched it a couple of months back, the first episode, and I loved it way back when, and I love it even more. Like,
I am watching it again.
Really good.
I've been going back through it. I'm up to episode 11 or 12.
Oh, it's so good.
But yeah, it is. It's absolutely fantastic, and I think I would recommend this to anyone.
Anyone, anywhere.
Yeah.
Even Brian quite liked it, didn't you?
Yeah, it was fine, but it was like, when am I going to find the time to watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's long. It's very long.
Because like, One Piece is still running.
So. Yeah. But there's no, if you're going to start One Piece now, you've got absolutely no hope. But, like...
Unless you're jobless and...
Yeah. And you can squeeze, you don't sleep, and you can do 24 hours of solid anime a day.
I don't have that patience.
Yeah. Or stamina.
What's happening here?
Yeah. But this is like 95 episodes, so it's long, but it's the kind of thing that you can chunter away at. Like, if when you come home from work, you make yourself your food, you sit down, you probably stream two episodes of it while you're eating.
Yeah.
That's how I do it.
That's a long meal you're eating there.
Like an hour? I watch one episode while I'm eating, and then I watch the second episode, and then I go and wash up.
Okay.
No. So, but yeah.
Right, things I might watch in the future, or should have watched in the past. I think the Gegege no Kitaro series from this year is the one which has got some early Mamoru Hosoda episodes on, so I suppose if they ever show up, mm-hmm. I'll give them a watch. There's a show called Book It to Gohan, which is a show about penguins, so all over that. Shin-chan movie 4, I've seen clips of that in music videos and it looks great.
Which one's 4? Has it got like a subtitle to it?
Oh, something in Henderland, I think. Adventure in Henderland.
Is there such thing as a bad Shin-chan film?
I believe the answer is no. There are some ones people don't like so much.
That's a shame.
In the 2000s.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah.
And I'd quite like to see some Kochikami, the show based on the really, really longest running Shonen Jump strip about the policeman. Yeah, with the big eyebrows.
He does look good.
Yeah. He's in that Jump Stars, whatever it was called.
Oh, he's in that game. He's playable.
Yeah, he's playable in that game.
Yeah. That's insane.
Anything you want to watch or should have watched, Anthony?
Escaflowne.
Yep.
Vision of Nadesico. When I finally get around to watching that, and
Sonic
that
the Hedgehog.
That's it, I think. Yeah. So apparently so. Apparently so. Maybe Magic Users Club. Actually, I think. Oh, Detective Conan.
Yes.
I need to start watching Detective Conan because I think I'm going to start playing Phoenix Wright as well.
See, once you're a little bit familiar with that, we can then watch the Lupin and Conan crossovers.
Oh, match made in heaven.
One of which is okay, and one of which is pretty good.
Hmm. They need a Conan, Lupin, Layton, well, Layton, if I'm going to say, and Phoenix Wright crossover. Same.
Righty-ho, that's our charts. We'll be back next week with an ordinary episode, and then 2 weeks with another chart. Who knows whether it'll be 1991, though, at this rate. Maybe something else.
Because we're going further back in time when it's harder to, for me to have watched things, and chances are I've never cared to look back at that yet.
Yeah. I think 86, I think you've probably got more at 86 than you've got at 90. 91 is a particularly bad year.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Do 95.
Yeah, it is.
95,
yeah.
Easy, yeah.
I'm trying to go back in. We'll do 95 in 4 years' time.
Oh, okay.
God. I look forward to it.
Right, cheerio. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.